All right, well, good morning. We have a Bible. Let's go ahead and open up to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you so much that you have graced us again with another day of life, God, another time that we could come together and worship you, a time when we can come together and read and study your word. It's a privilege, God. Lord, we look to you this morning. We've come this morning. We've gone through the trouble of just coming over here because we want to hear you speak to us. And so, Lord, we cry out to you. We humble ourselves before you. Speak to us this morning. Give us instruction. In your name we pray. Amen. We've titled the message, Pathway to His Promises. Pathway to His Promises. You know, as we walk this path that we call life, we're faced with multiple trails leading to many different destinations. You know, if you will, imagine yourself walking in the forest on a trail, and there's all these branches and turnoffs that you can take. And every single one leads to something different. And you're faced with those choices throughout your life constantly. Nonstop, you have decisions to make. A motorist was driving through the country, and he lost his way. He was traveling the country. He asked a local resident how far it was to a certain town. The resident replied, well, the way you're going, it's 24,900 miles. But if you turn around, it's 1 mile. Oftentimes, we go down trails that they just take us down places we don't really want to go. We're going to look at three things here in Joshua, the first 9 verses of chapter 1. We're going to look at the call that God has placed on Joshua. It's the call of God. We're going to look at the promises that God made to Joshua and to Israel. And then we're going to look at the instructions. Those promises came with instructions to attain those promises. So let's go ahead and dig in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. We see here that God spoke to Joshua. We're not exactly sure how, but Joshua, without a shadow of a doubt, heard God speaking to him. And he's told Joshua, I want you to go over this Jordan, and you're going to lead my people into the promised land. Moses had died. He had led the nation of Israel out of Egypt. They had sent 12 spies into the promised land that God was going to give them. And Joshua was one of those 12 spies, I'm sorry. And then of those 12 spies, 2 of them came back saying, we've got to go and take this land. The other 10 said, you know what, there's giants over there. There's these cities that are heavily fortified. There are these walls that we're never going to be able to break down. Let's not go. And so the nation decided, you know what, we better not go because it's just going to be too hard. So God told the nation, all right, since you didn't trust me, you're going to wander in the wilderness until everyone from this generation dies. That generation has died. Moses has misrepresented God along the way. And so God tells him, look, you will not lead my people into the promised land, but Joshua will. Moses has died. Joshua has been instructed by Moses that he will go into the promised land and lead the people, but God here makes it personal. God himself speaks to Joshua. And it's the same way for every single soul. God speaks to every single one of you, and he places a call on every single one of us. Jesus would say, come to me, all of you who are burdened and heavy laden. Let me give you rest. He would say, follow me. He would say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. He would say, I want to give you eternal life. I want so much more for you. And he calls every single one of us. The call here for Joshua was to go, arise, take the people. Get up and go. We understand that Joshua was about 85 years old. So no excuses about age, young or old. God can call us at any age. Arise, get up, and go. Joshua knows he has a difficult task. He had been to the promised land 40 years earlier. He knew what he was about to face. God says, I want you to get up and go. That's the call. Now, God gives Joshua awesome, amazing promises. Let's go ahead and look at those, starting in verse 3. God tells Joshua, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Several promises here. Number one, God says, wherever you step foot, I've given it to you. If you look at verse 3, it's in the past tense. He doesn't say, I'm going to give it to you. He says, I have given it to you. I learned something really interesting this week. Of all that God promised to the nation of Israel, they didn't take all of it. They only took a very small percentage. Somebody calculated that it's about 30,000 square miles that was promised to the nation of Israel. And they calculated that they took only about 3,000 square miles. Isn't that amazing? Yet the promise was, as far as you want to go. Now, he gave them general boundaries. But he said, as far as you want to go, I've given it to you. It's yours. Chuck Smith said, the tragic thing is that they don't put their soul all the way. They don't go the whole distance. And then he talks about us. Chuck says, it's tragically true that so many times we fail to take all that God has given to us. We fail to enter fully into that life of victory that Jesus Christ wants to give us. We hesitate. We become satisfied. We say, oh, this is all we need. We become complacent in our spiritual growth. We just kind of hit a plateau. And we say, oh, praise the Lord, this is wonderful. And we don't press any further. Corson says, we strive for peanuts. And the Lord gives us grapes the size of bowling balls. God says, I've already given you so much. I've given you so many promises. As much as you want, they're there for the taking. You just have to go and get them. Yet, we don't. God is looking for people to say, Lord, pour out upon me your spirit so that I could live for you, so that I could live a life of victory, so that I can overcome my sins, so that I can overcome the deceit that's in the world, in my friends, in my family, in my coworkers, so that I can spread your good news. Fill me. God is looking for those. But yet we just become content that we are saved. And yes, God came to save us, but he came to give us an abundant life so that we could live for him. So the first promise, wherever you step your foot, it's yours. I've given it to you. In verse 5, God tells Joshua, no man will be able to stand before you. That is to say, no one is going to be able to hold their ground against you. No one will be able to oppose you, Joshua. You know, Joshua had already been there. He'd already seen the people. He knew the size of the people. He knew the size of the walls. By the way, the territory that Joshua was heading into was very mountainous. He was actually going up, and so he knew that that was going to be difficult. But nonetheless, God here promises him, hey, Joshua, go, and no one is going to be able to stand their ground against you. Amazing promise. He also says in verse 5, Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That must have meant a lot to Joshua. You know, think about all that God did through Moses. You know, God met Moses and spoke to him face to face. God used Moses to do all the 10 plagues and to lead Israel out of Egypt, to part the Red Sea. It's been said, or it says in Deuteronomy 34, that since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And Joshua is being told by God, Joshua, the way you saw me as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And brothers and sisters, God would say the same thing to you and I. As we read his word and we look at all the great things that he did through people and in people and how he was with them, he would say that to you. As I was with them, I will be with you. An amazing promise. He also says in verse 5, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. To leave, that word is to say, I'm not going to fail you, Joshua. I'm not going to let you go. To forsake is to say, abandon. Joshua, I'm not going to abandon you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to never leave you. I'm going to be right there by your side. An amazing promise. And then at verse 6, God tells him, you are going to divide this land among the people. It's a done deal. You're going to divide it. It's their inheritance. By the way, an inheritance, that's interesting if you think about it for a second. That means that they're inheriting a land, but from whom? From God. When it's all said and done, they're going to fight their battles. They're going to overtake part of Canaan. And it's not going to become their land because they were mighty warriors. It's going to become their land because God gives it to them. Amazing, wonderful promises. So Joshua has all these promises. He's been given the tough task. But then he's given all the promises. The thing that spoke to me, amongst others, was that these promises came with instructions. They came with instructions. Very, very important instructions. Look at those instructions starting in verse 7. He's given them all these promises. And now he tells them in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Instructions. I've given you promises, but they come with instructions. Observe to do according to all the law. You know, in this entire paragraph, more than half of it is about Joshua obeying, studying and obeying the law that Moses wrote. It's so important to God. It's striking, somebody writes, that God's instructions here to Joshua are not about military matters, given that Joshua and the Israelites faced many battles ahead. However, the keys to his success were spiritual, directly related to the degree of his obedience to God. So first he's told, do not turn from it. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. That is to say, do not neglect any part of it. Do not deviate from the law. Remain faithful in following what is required. You see, Joshua, you cannot pick and choose what parts of the law you want to keep. You have to keep all of the law, not just parts of it. Aren't we so guilty of that? We're walking down this path we call life, and we make decisions and we go down trails that we know God has commanded us not to our own destruction. My boys and I went to a safety survival class, and we were being taught about hypothermia. And a story was shared about a fly fisherman who was fishing up a stream from his truck, had walked several miles, and as he had walked up the stream several miles away, he stumbled and he fell in the water. The water was 35 degrees. He began to freeze, and he knew instinctively that he needed to get back to his truck, so he started to walk all that way back to his truck. As he was walking, he started to become hypothermic, and he literally began to lose his ability to think. He lost his ability to think. He came to a Y in the stream, and he chose the wrong side. He ended up walking into 10,000 acres of national forest, and he never made it back to his truck. He didn't survive. In the same way, we pick and choose these trails that lead us astray, and we lose our ability to think rationally. We lose our ability to contemplate and think the consequences of this choice. It's a horrible thing. Joshua is told, look, follow my law. Don't turn from it. Stay on the path. Don't deviate from it. It says in verse 7 that you may prosper wherever you go. The secret of success is to love God totally. That's the secret to his success. He's told in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. That word to meditate literally means to mutter. And so they had this custom that you would take God's word and you would read it to yourself quietly. You wouldn't read it without talking. You would speak out loud. You would read out loud to yourself. And so that's why he's told, do not let this word depart from your lips. Meditate on it. Read it to yourself. Yes, there are times when they read it in congregations like we are reading right now, but daily Joshua was to read this to himself, think about it, ponder it. You're supposed to study it so that he could learn what to do. You know, that was the whole purpose. At the end of verse 8, it says that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. So that's why James tells us, look, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's great that we study and that we learn. That's awesome. It's even better when we apply it. Hey, it's even better when we obey it. That's what Joshua is being told here. Very specific. In verse 8, he's told, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Understand that those words, prosperity and success, most of the time, the majority of the time in the Old Testament, those same words are not talking about financial prosperity and financial success. Those words are usually talking about success and prosperity in your rightful endeavors in life, in the things that please God. It's succeeding at accomplishing what God has called you to do. You have to be obedient to God's law, and then you will prosper at what you do. By the way, Israel would learn this. They would go, they would cross the Jordan River. By the way, God would part that for them. They would cross it on dry land. They would go and overtake Jericho by just simply obeying what God told them. If you read it, God told them to march around the walls once for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they were to march around seven times, blow their trumpets, the walls would fall, they would go and they would overtake it. God gave it to them. But he told them, look, of all the plunder from Jericho, you should not keep any of it. There is a man by the name of Achan who just couldn't help himself. And he kept part of the plunder. He hid it and he dug a hole inside his tent on the floor and he hid it there. Israel would go next after Jericho to Ai to defeat them. But as they went and fought Ai, They became defeated. Many Israelites would die because they would lose this battle. They would regroup and they would say, what happened? They learned that Achan had done this sin against God's command. They would take Achan and his family and they would stone him to death for disobeying God's straightforward command not to keep the plunder. Israel would learn that. If we obey God's law, we're going to be okay. We're going to succeed. God's promises will be fulfilled. Now, for then you will make your way prosperous, for then you will have good success. Obedience. Obey Joshua, and then you're going to have that. The first two or three verses in Psalm chapter 1 say this. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the sorrowful. Listen. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. God's promises come with instructions, and you know what? We should obey them. William Paley said this, one very common error misleads the opinion of mankind, that authority is pleasant and submission is painful. He says, in the general course of human affairs, the very reverse of this is nearer the truth. Command is anxiety, he says. Command is anxiety. Obedience is ease. Business owners know what that means. It's so easy to just go and punch in at a job. It's a different story when it's your business and you have to run it. Spiritually, it's the same way. In your life, it's the same way. It's so much easier to just follow our leader, Jesus. It's so much easier to just follow his commands than for us to make our own decisions and live a lifestyle that is contrary to his commands. It's so much better. Joshua is told, last of all, be strong and of good courage. He's told that three times. That implies that perhaps Joshua felt weak. Perhaps he was afraid, but he's being told, look, don't be afraid. And God tells him why. He says in verse 9, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's an awesome promise. Joshua, don't be afraid, man. Because you know what? I'm right there with you. You are not alone. I'm with you. You know, when we consider God's power, and we consider God's promises, and we consider God's presence, that's enough to last us a lifetime. We can face any giant. We can conquer anything in our lives with those three because we have God's power through his Holy Spirit. We have God's promises from his word, and we have God's presence with us. It's an amazing thing. So there are so many spiritual lessons for us to learn from this. You know, in the same way, God has given us so many promises, hasn't he? I mean, we can sit here and just talk about promises all weekend long. But just to list a few, okay? We're promised that what God has begun in us, he's going to be faithful to complete in Philippians. We're promised that his word is going to accomplish what he sent it to accomplish. And when you share God's word with other souls, it will work in their lives. Promises from God. We are promised when Jesus, before he left, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back for you so that where I am, there you will be also. Promises of God. Amazing promises. If God is for us, we're told, who can be against us? We're told we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We're told, hey, does anybody lack wisdom? James says, just ask God. He gives it liberally without reproach. You ask of God. Amazing promises. But the instructions are the same. We also have the same instructions. We have to choose who we're going to obey. We have to choose who our God is going to be. Are we making the same mistake that Achan made? Perhaps there's lifestyles, perhaps there's sin that we just love so much we don't want to let it go, we hide it. Defeat awaits us. Are we making the same mistake that the Israelites made? Yes, they got to their land, but they didn't get everything God wanted to give them. God's end goal isn't only to save you. It's that and so much more. So much more. You know, as I walk around, as we walk around, as you go into the world and you see people at work or at when you're shopping or just anywhere in public, it's just sad to see people oblivious to the Word of God, ignorant of the Word of God. They lack the knowledge of all the promises of God. It's really sad to see. It's sad to see also so many churches. It's sad to see so many Christians who have compromised God's word. They say, you know what, the times have changed, and so now it's okay to do this and that. But listen, God has spoken. He has already spoken what is sin, what is acceptable, and what is not acceptable, and he will not change that. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God judged the world for their sin when he flooded the world. God judged Sodom and Gomorrah when he destroyed those cities. Every soul that chooses to reject God awaits the same destiny. It's a sad, sad thing. So we have God's call. We have God's promises. We have God's instructions. What do we do with it? You know, the call of God is, you know what? Let me have all of you. I want to do more in you. Who will open their hearts up to that? I'm going to close with a story, a true story. In 1463, members of the city council of Florence, Italy, decided that they needed a monument to enhance their city. They commissioned a sculptor to carve a giant statue to stand in front of City Hall. Someone suggested a biblical character wrought in the neoclassical style, an expression of beauty and strength. So they approached Agostini de Duccio, who agreed to their terms. He went to the quarry near Carrara and marked off a 19-foot slab to be cut out of white marble. However, when he had the slab cut, it was cut too thin, and when the block was removed, it fell, leaving a deep fracture down one side. The sculptor declared the stone useless and demanded another, but the city council refused. Consequently, the gleaming block of marble lay on its side for 38 years. It was a source of embarrassment to them. Then in 1501, the council approached another citizen, the son of a local official, asking him if he would complete this ambitious project using the broken slab. Fortunately for them, the young man was Michelangelo. He was 26 years old, filled with energy, skill, and imagination. He locked himself inside the workshop behind the cathedral and began to chisel and polish away the stone for 3 years. When the work was finished, it took 49 men 5 days to bring it to rest before the city hall. Archways were torn down, narrow streets were widened. The people from across Europe came to see the 14-foot statue of David relaxing after defeating Goliath. It was even more than the city fathers had envisioned. The giant stone had been transformed from the massive fractured waste of rock into a masterpiece surpassing the art of either Greece or Rome. Listen, it doesn't matter how broken you may think you are, sins you may think you have committed, and you might think God can't use me. God would say, I can work with that, and more so than just work with that. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that you are a God who didn't leave us in the dark. Lord, without you, we would not have any knowledge of heaven, of your love. Without you, there would be no possible way for us to attain righteousness and therefore gain eternal life. But Lord, you have made things so clear in your word. Lord, we love your promises that you would forgive us, that you would give us eternal life. But Lord, we also see the instructions that come with those promises. And we pray right now, God, we ask you, forgive us. Because we don't choose to follow those instructions very well. Lord, give us wisdom. Teach us. Help us to learn to study your word, to meditate on your word, to consider heavily your word, and then help us, God, to obey your word. Lord, if there be any areas in our life where we are constantly being defeated, show us why. And Lord, we want to give those areas of our life up to you. We ask, please take it, God. We pray, God, that you would fill us with your spirit. Lord, we are here as a congregation and we cry out to you, God, fill us. We want your spirit in us. We want to live victoriously. We want to conquer what you would have us to conquer. With every eye closed, every head bowed, the start of that victory, the start of that rest in getting to the promised land is surrendering your life to God. And if you have not done so, then you will never find rest. But you do not have to go another day without that. And so if you feel God calling you right now, and you hear him telling you, let me have all of you, then you pray in your heart, you pray to God right now, and you say to him, Lord Jesus, take all of me and make me yours. Remove the sin from my life. I ask you to forgive me for the horrible things that I've done. Forgive me and give me a new start. I believe in you, Lord Jesus, and I want to follow you as my God, as my leader, as my Savior. Fill me with your spirit and empower me. Lord, thank you for your promises. This week, help us to live for you victoriously. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to sing a song. If anybody needs prayer, I know that there's going to be people up here to pray with you. If anybody prayed that prayer for the first time to surrender their life to Christ, please let us know. We have a Bible we'd like to give you, and we just want to pray with you and answer any questions. Let's go ahead and sing.